Welcome to Voices of the Body, a podcast where we explore the intricate connection between mind, body, and spirit as we dive into the world of healing, advocacy, alchemy, and purpose. Our bodies are vessels of wisdom, carrying stories of our experiences, our joys, and our sorrows. Together, we'll uncover the power within ourselves and our communities to heal, to advocate, to transform, and to live with and on purpose. Join us on this journey of self-discovery and empowerment. Let's unlock the voices of our bodies. Welcome back to Voices of the Body, the podcast. My name is Love Ashley Elaine, and I'm going to be your guide as we journey through this big, beautiful thing called life. And we journey through this month, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. This episode, well, all month, we're dissecting the power and control wheel, because what is the goal? To expose the tips and tricks of the oppressor, the enemy, the abuser, all of the things. This episode, we're diving into a slice of that power control wheel, where we talk about what spiritual abuse is, how it's used, and how to heal from it, right? Recognizing it so that we can heal. The whole point is to recognize what is happening so that we can heal from it and move forward. So prepare your mind, body, and soul as we get into this episode. Welcome back to Voices of the Body, the podcast. So this episode, we are really going to dive into spiritual abuse. The goal, again, is to really allow ourselves to pay attention to what's happening, right, in our relationships. And it's not just our romantic relationships, it's our friendships, it's our family relationships, it's our friend circles, all of that, right? Because abuse doesn't just happen in one area of our life. If we are paying attention, sometimes there's a common thread in most of our relationships. But it takes that one. And for some, it could be a romantic relationship that exposes what that thing is that needed to be deeply revealed and healed so that we can look at it and see it for what it has been in other relationships, right? The goal for this episode, so three things. We're going to identify signs of spiritual abuse. We're going to discuss the breaking free, right? Because if you've been listening to me for a while, if you've been following me, if you've just been in my orbit, you know that outside of personally, one thing that I am so in tune with is creating space for people to do deep transformational healing work. And that only comes from going into the depths of our truth, our soul, our pain, our vulnerabilities, all of that, showing ourselves what it is that we need to heal from, right? That's the vulnerable part. And then allowing ourselves to move through that, right? And do that work. And then the last part is, what are the tools and resources that we can tap into, one, within us, because it's always going to start within us, and two, outside of us. So community, friends, all of that, right? So starting with like just what is spiritual abuse? And again, in the show notes, I'll have a couple articles that I've pulled some information from that are really good. There's one, I can't remember what her name is, but I believe she's a minister. She's actually laid out 25 different ways of spotting spiritual abuse. And it's magnificent, right? It's just this space and season of show, let me see the tool, the tactics and the tools that these negative forces, that these lower vibrational energies, that these not so good entities, right? Because again, as we know, as above, so below, this like we are here in spiritual form, not just human. So there's the attacks that we are under in the physical realm are always going to come from a spiritual space, right? An unhealed space also, right? We're talking about principalities. This can get deep very quick. When we're talking about spiritual abuse, we have to remember that there are two principalities that exist, right? There's the duality, the duality of spirituality. There's the good and the evil, the good and the bad, the evil and the good, right? The angel and the devil, right? Looking at all of those. So if we keep ourselves ignorant to the truth of the principalities that exist, right, outside of the good that we want to see in the world, the good juju feelings that we feel spiritually, right? We'll forget that there are negative entities that exist that do not want to see us succeed, that do not want us to step fully into who God created us to be, our true divine self. Right. And a lot of that is going to come from healing, coming back into ourselves, coming into our power. So spiritual abuse happens when someone uses spiritual or religious beliefs, practices, anything that is meant to develop us spiritually and push God's agenda forward for us, our purpose, our sense of self, our divine being, right? When that's used against us to hurt us, to scare us, or to control us, it is a form of coercive control, right? It's exploitation. So it's, again, examples that I give only come from my personal life, and I don't care, right? I like, use me, Lord. But it's, I remember being told one time that because I am Christian and believe in Jesus, right? Not the way most Christians do, but that's a different podcast episode. That because of my belief in Jesus, right? It was like, oh, you actually believe that there's a human that's the son of God. Just like, yeah, right. And as I evolved and tapped into my understanding of faith, Christianity, religion, spirituality, all of those things, it's like, well, yeah, we all are, right? This is just a protege of who we also can be and what, like, how to learn how to walk this earth in spiritual form, right? But it was almost like I was being shamed for being a Christian. So it was kind of like, so what, like, why, right? There's shame that comes with that. It's to shame you out of your belief, your foundation, all of that. 'Cause if I can shame you out of what you believe, I can shame what not just what you believe, but what you believe to be true for you that brings you that sense of wholeness, that gives you hope, that develops your faith, that gives you security, that gives you hope, that gives you joy, right? If I can shame you out of believing that that is true or that it's real or that you need that right? Then I can shame you out of that community. I can shame you out of what you do with your time. I can shame you out of how you use your time. I can shame you out of how you pray. I can shame you out of your spiritual practices. I can shame you out of all of that. So now you're losing identity with nothing to replace it that actually fits for you, right? Some examples of spiritual abuse happen in religious spaces. So we hear a lot about church hurt, right? We hear a lot about church hurt. And I think sometimes we forget that people are human, right? And we need the church to be a spiritual hospital where if we're telling people to come as they are, ooh, I did an episode with my friend James. I think it was season one. You can tap back into that where he talks about his experience being a Black gay man who loves the Lord and his church. Yes, he does. But if we can remember that the church is a spiritual hospital, right, that we all need God in whatever religious path that we are on, right? Because I believe religion is a car to get us all to the same place, right? Or to help us navigate how to get to the same place. But if we can remember that the church, the mosque, the temple, all of it is a spiritual hospital, there's an energy that sits in that place. And it should be an energy that says, welcome home. Right? Welcome to your place of healing. Welcome to the place where you can be vulnerable and put your sword down. Welcome to the place where you can lay it all on the altar. An altar is a place of sacrifice, right? So if I'm coming as I am to a church and I'm being told that the church is supposed to be a place of healing, and then I allow other imperfect people to make me feel more imperfect and then more superior, or they move in that space, that's also not okay, right? We take the human out of people living and growing and moving through the shifts and changes of who they need to become to serve whatever purpose God needs them to serve, right? So using the Bible or any sacred text to manipulate or coerce somebody. I've seen this in marriage context, right? Where it's like the Bible's being used to excuse other forms of abuse. So it's like, yeah, no, just because we're married, that doesn't give you permission to put your hands on me. That doesn't give you permission to trigger warning, rape me. That doesn't give you permission to impregnate me if we've talked about I'm not ready yet. You know, like it, people have used men have used the Bible to manipulate women and to excuse their, and not just the Bible, any sacred text, right? To abuse women, to manipulate, to control, to coerce, to push their agenda forward, right? Again, we're talking about power and control. So when we talk about power and control, it's what do I see in this person that they know about themselves but don't see about themselves, that they're very deeply connected to, that I can control and use to take their power to make me feel more empowered, right? It's disgusting. Another way is through controlling what you wear, controlling your appearance, right? Through hate speech, through like condemning you for your hair. Like, oh, I can't believe like you go to church wearing that, or you you think God is okay with your hair like that, or it's like using God to like punish you, right? And I think that's where, even for myself sometimes, like, and my pastor said this on Sunday, and I'm so glad he said it, right? Because it's like fear of the Lord, and it's like, why I gotta fear people all the time? I gotta fear people and I gotta fear God. Like, I don't want to do nothing then. I don't want to do anything. Because if everything I do, I'm worried about how God is going to perceive me, how people are going to perceive me, how my spouse is going to perceive me, how my family is going to perceive me. Where is the freedom? Where is the abundance in living in freedom and owning who I am and allowing myself to move through growth, right? Coming to my divine identity. So, but it's like, I was reading Exodus yesterday, and it was just talking about how the beginning of Exodus, and it was talking about how the midwives were told to, in Egypt, they were told to, by Pharaoh, that any woman that was pregnant and about to give birth, to kill off the boy babies and to keep the girl babies. And the midwives feared God more than they feared the oppressor Pharaoh, right? And I had to sit with that again, because it was like, okay, this fear God thing again, right? And it's like, it's not fear of in like constant judgment, right? Because I think when you've lived under the constant judgment of loved ones, of people who don't deserve to be in your life anymore, right? When you've lived under constant, and then self-judgment, when you've lived under constant judgment and don't know that that's not okay, right? When we come to like our spiritual selves, we fear being spiritually vulnerable with our wounds, with our heaviness, with our everything as our spiritual selves with God, because we're fearing judgment from there too. Whereas I fear God in a way where if I don't leave this relationship and keep trying to fix myself for this person or fix that person to fit me or whatever that dance is, I'm going to miss out on the abundance and the joy that God has for me. Again, John 10:10 is the scripture for me this year. I'm starting to see, right? It's noticing what is going to block me from my spiritual growth and my spiritual progression if I stay connected to X, Y, and Z, right? If I don't acknowledge that X, Y, and Z is happening and it's actually beating me backwards and not progressing me forward. But it was interesting in that text that I read that it said that the midwives feared God more than they feared the oppressor. So you would think that because the oppressor is in human form right there in their face and has more authority, has air quotes, more authority to harm them, or like, this is what was going through my head. The oppressor is right there in human form with the ability to enslave them any a little deeper, right? To physically hit them, assault them, like do all these things to them, like actually hurt them. But they trusted their soul and they trusted the instruction, the discernment that God had given them. Discernment is instruction from God, right? They trusted that so much more than what was in front of them. Woo. So when we're talking about spiritual abuse, we're talking about what is beating you up in this physical realm that is stopping you from listening to your discernment, that is stopping you from listening to that intuitive nudge that you have. This is like, I remember being in a space where like, I just kept praying for change to happen. And then God kept showing me back to me. And not until that situation ended did I then realize, oh, God was giving me the authority to trust him and end this long time ago. But I kept praying for this other person to change. That person's not going to change until they're ready to. They don't even know what it is that they need to change. But the mere fact that I had the authority to pray, right, and ask for the situation to change, God was giving me back the authority to say, okay, you can change it. And then something happened that signaled, okay, this is how this needs to change, right? So it's us coming back to us, right? And I'm jumping way ahead to like the healing part of it, but it's coming back to, what is your foundational relationship, right? With you, with spirit, with God, with even religion. And it can be tricky, right? It can be a space where we're like, oh, I'm still navigating that, or I don't even have one, right? But I always believe in divine intervention, that at some point, somewhere, there's somebody that just shows up out of nowhere and gives us what we need to hear. This can also be where, if there's children involved and parents practice two different religions, where it's like, no, the child's only going to practice this one religion. And it's like, well, that's not okay either, right? I think it's almost like a gift for a child to be able to experience two different religions, and then they can create their own path, or they can create their own spiritual practices. They can embark on what feels truly aligned for them. But when it's forced, when it's like shunned, when it's not even given opportunity, that's the control, right? That's the overpowering. That's that religious abuse where it's like, my religion's better than yours. It's like, no, it's not. Like, everything that is man-made is imperfect, right? Pulls hair behind ear. And religion is still very young. Yoga was around way longer. Just going to throw that out there again, right? So how do we recognize spiritual abuse, right? What are these characteristics of spiritual abuse? When we see religion being used to control us, right? So you think about, you've been going to church every Sunday, and now all of a sudden you're dating somebody, and now it's like, oh, well, I can take this Sunday off and like go to brunch with them. And now you're like drinking. And then it's like, oh, well, next Sunday I can, you know, sit at home with them, or we can go to like, is your spiritual hygiene shifting? Are your spiritual practices shifting, right? It's like, if I take my vitamins every day, I know I'm good. Even if I like take them later in the day, I'm still taking it, right? But it's like, all of a sudden now you stop taking your vitamins. You don't even remember to take your vitamins. You don't even know how to open up the bottle anymore, because you've been so disconnected from the routine and the practice of taking your vitamins every day, right? Another characteristic is like being ridiculed or insulted because of your spiritual beliefs, being prevented from practicing those spiritual beliefs, right? I think the biggest thing is like when your own spiritual practices and religions are being used against you, and when they're trying to be stripped from you. And sometimes we're not aware enough to notice when they're being stripped from us, right? And then when the text is being used to financially abuse you, sexually abuse you, physically abuse you, or emotionally abuse you, right? There's guilt that comes. There's fear of, well, if I don't do it, then I'm going to be a bad mom. I'm going to be a bad wife. I'm going to be a bad sibling. I'm going to be a bad this. I'm going to be like, you end up fearing not doing whatever you're being asked to do when there's a spiritual tie to it, or when there is when someone uses God's name in it, you know what I'm saying? Or like quoting the scripture from it. Just thought of a story, but I don't want to share it. Right? It's like, it's very manipulative. It's disgusting, to be honest. It's very manipulative when somebody is using God and sacred texts and scriptures to tell you why you're supposed to do something for them. Like, it's that's kind of low blow. That's really low blow. It takes away your autonomy and disrespects your boundaries, right? It disrespects your boundaries. Signs and symptoms that you may begin to feel, and catch these quick, right? Feeling oppressed, right? You feel pressed down, beat up, right? And it's not even like the physical beat up. It's like, well, I'm your husband. You're supposed to give me your paycheck every week. And the Bible says you're supposed to honor me regardless. And it's like, okay. Like I had to wrestle with that for a minute. It's just like, well, I don't like how this feels. Like, I'm going dark. Should I, like, but the Bible says this, and we just this and all this other stuff. Like, no. Do you feel oppressed? Right? Feeling confused and lost sense of self. Last episode, I talked about confusion, and I'm going to say it again. God does not want us to be confused. Right? There's a period where, like, there might be like a shift happening and we're confused about the transition, and we can work with that energy. But God doesn't want us to be confused, right? That's not a part of his plan for us, because when we get confused, what happens? We don't do anything. We don't move. We don't push the needle forward. We stand still and we waste time and energy and resources. And it takes us out of our sense of self. It takes us out of our divine purpose of what we're supposed to be doing. We feel forced, right? If you feel like you're forced to do something against your will, and it's like there's this inner sense of what you believe to be right or wrong for you, and it's being used against you, or like you can feel the force of, well, this doesn't feel good for me, but if I don't do it, then I don't know what's going to happen. Like, you fear what the consequence of that person is going to be, right? And I think that's even a perfect example of going back to what I read in Exodus with the midwives. It's like, if I don't do this and I stick to my truth and what I know is right for me, that is me staying in my God sense, my integrity, my truth, my sense of self, because there's something telling me not to, but I feel like I'm being forced to, right? You're sleeping your dreams. So there was a period where, I don't know if anybody's heard it, it might be just for Black people, but where it's like the devil's riding your back. I remember a time where, like, I couldn't sleep. I felt like I was like choking in my sleep. Like, there was just this heavy thing on my back pressing on me. It was very, very heavy to like nights where, like, I'm pretty sure I don't know if I could, like, it took me a minute to like come back into my body. Right. Pay attention to what's happening in your dreams and in your sleep, because, and I'm going to do a podcast episode on dreams, right? I love dreams. I love dreams. Love dreams. But dreams are like the times where, if you can't gather yourself and understand what's happening in your waking life, your dreams, that period of time where your body is like chilling, sleep, under, dark, gone for a minute, right? Your brain is telling you what's happening. And just pay attention to your sleep patterns. Pay attention to the energy around your sleep. Pay attention to the heaviness of your sleep. Pay attention to your dreams. I suggest a dream journal to keep it by your bed. That way, when you wake up, or keep it somewhere safe that you only have access to, so that when you wake up, you can go and journal. That way, you can kind of have a better sense of what's happening, right? Not everybody is there, but just a practice to look into, right? Spiritually, your dreams are going to tell you a lot. That is for another episode. But in this sense, with spiritual abuse and the journey to break free from it, pay attention to your dreams. If you can't pay attention to any of these other signs and symptoms, pay attention to your sleep and your dreams. I don't know if I sound crazy, and I know I'm not crazy because I've experienced spiritual warfare, but let me tell you, we can no longer pretend like the spiritual being does not exist, that there's spiritual entities that live amongst the world and amongst people do not exist, because evil is real, but so is good. So are angels. Angels are just as real. Evil is just as real. So we have to be very honest with what is happening to our soul, what is happening to our spirit. That is the very essence of who we are. And if we're losing the essence in relationship with people, with certain people, they are not our people, right? There's no more room for us to allow our souls to be depleted just for the sake of other people. It is not going to push God's agenda forward. We are here in spiritual form first before physical. And when we keep pretending like the spiritual self doesn't matter, and we're not talking about religion, we're talking about spiritual sense and self, right? We're talking about connection to divinity, something greater within us that is outside of us. We have to be honest about the demonic entities that exist. They exist. My God, they exist. And the ditty dance that we keep doing around it, pretending like it doesn't exist, like it's this, we're going to end up in abusive situations and become the abuser in our next, maybe in our next karmic life, maybe in, I don't know, with whomever next relationship, who knows? It's time to really heal the truth of what abuse is. And it's always going to come from the spiritual space first, right? I've been big in just getting to understand Mary Magdalene a little bit more. And to me, I believe she is like our first spiritual case study of what abuse looks like, because of how knowledgeable she was, how much she knew about Jesus, a spiritual leader and teacher, right? And they did yoga together. They understood energy work and spirit together. She helped prepare him for his ascension, and he came back for her to be the first one to preach a word. And the first word she preached was about Jesus's ascension and him being present in spirit form. Right. And men didn't like that. Men didn't want a woman to say anything. They didn't want her to be knowledgeable. They wanted to take her power and control away. But Jesus trusted her with the power. With power. Right? With knowledge. Knowledge is the power. So if we are not knowledgeable about our bodies, if we are not knowledgeable about the voices that live within us, if we are not knowledgeable about how to hear our discernment, how to hear God's voice, how to hear intuition, how to feel into shifts and changes, how to feel into the truth of what is being exposed to us. It's not always going to be exposed to us in the physical first. It's going to show up in the spiritual first. And then, let me tell you, once you acknowledge it in the spiritual, it's going to show up in the physical. I done seen it. It's going to show up in the physical, right? But to understand what's happening to your body when your spirit is being abused and your faith is being used against you and shame is trying to be imparted into you for your belief in joy, your belief in the good, your belief in God, your belief in something beyond what the eye can, what the two eyes can see, right? It's pay attention is all. Pay attention. So this moves us into breaking free from spiritual abuse. Again, like I just said, acknowledging. We have to acknowledge when something feels off, right? When we don't acknowledge it, all we do is keep us in a position to harm ourselves that much more or allow the harm to keep happening. We have to overcome being in denial and trying to rationalize why somebody is the way they are, right? And why they do what they do, why they say what they say, right? Everybody has a story. Let's just keep it a buck. Everybody has a story. It may not be as traumatic as somebody else's, but everybody has a story. Everybody is not responsible for how somebody has hurt them. Everybody is not responsible for how their parents may have treated them in their childhood. But everybody is responsible for their own healing. You are not responsible for somebody else's healing. You can create the space for somebody to heal. You can hold space for somebody to be able to ask questions and dive deeper into learning more about their pain, their traumas, their story, their journey, their healing, all of the things, their behaviors, all of the things. But it is not your responsibility to heal somebody. You are not God. You have God sense, God essence. You are not God. When that person is ready to identify their trauma, their triggers, and do the work, right? Identify what work needs to be done and actually start doing to work and starts manifesting results in their healing, right? Then maybe they'll be where they need to be and you will be where you need to be. And boom, we can do this thing because there is no perfect people. Being in denial and rationalizing someone else's behaviors to keep them around is only going to hurt you further. Right? I only speak on things that I've gone through and that I've healed and that I've taken some deep trashy looks at in the depths of healing. These last 8 years have been, I was sitting and thinking the other day, these last 8 years have been dedicated solely to healing, transformation, changing. Literally, really, I remember asking the question after I got baptized again as an adult. Like, I think I just turned 30. I said, God, what is transformation? This is 2018, 2019. I was not 30. I was a little bit over 30. And you're like, I tell my son, if the only questions you ask are the ones that you're ready for, right? And so it's like, God's not going to give you the answer. He's going to make you the answer. He's going to make you go through to find the answer and show you how to be the answer. Because I'm pretty sure somebody else is asking the same question. And it starts with the spirit. It starts with the soul. It starts with the internal work. Number two in like the breaking free, right? So number one is acknowledging the abuse. You have to acknowledge it. Stop making excuses. Stop being in denial of it. Stop, right? Number two is taking the initial steps. Who can you go to talk about this aspect of what you're dealing with, right? Is there somebody at work that you trust? Is there a family member that you trust? Is there someone from your church that you can get in contact with or get back in contact with, right? Who can you find that will help you navigate? Okay, and is this abuse? Like, is this spiritual abuse, right? Google, right? Who's not using Google to figure out their symptoms, right? There's so much education out there. It can be a lot, and start somewhere, right? Educating yourself on, okay, this is what I'm feeling. This is what is being said to me. This is how it makes me feel. Why, right? I think sometimes because we can't help who we love, sometimes we feel like we have to allow the love to make us endure abuse. Abuse and pain are two different things. Abuse has pain, but there's certain pains that I feel like are privy for love, where there's like a transformation happening where two people are invested in the growth of one another, right? The healing of one another. Whereas abuse is like, nope, I just want what I want. I want the power, I want the control. I want everything. I want to strip you of everything so that you only need me, so that you only have to come through me, right? And step three is practical strategies. What does boundary setting look like with this person? Right? What does finding your community or tapping back into your community look like while this person is in your space and you begin to acknowledge what is happening? What does going to therapy look like? Right. What does coming back to your practices look like? What does saying prayer look like again? We gotta be able to allow ourselves to process the grief, because as much as spiritual abuse tries to down our sense of self, it's also going to transform our sense of self, right? So the other part of the magical part, the beautiful part of that scripture I read in Exodus, the beginning of Exodus, that I was just speaking about with the midwives, is Pharaoh oppressed the Hebrew people. There was so much oppression. He made them build all kinds of brick and mortar buildings and storehouses. And just his goal was to just oppress them, right? But the wisdom that came from that oppression was that no matter how oppressed he tried to make them, because the midwives did not listen to Pharaoh and kill off the men, the boy babies, more people started populating throughout the land. which meant there was more strength in numbers, which meant where one or two are gathered, the presence of the Lord is there, right? God is there. Divinity is there, right? Especially if we're coming all into agreement of faith that we are going to not overpower the oppressor, but we are going to move past the oppressor and his motives, right? And that in itself is healing. That in itself is healing. So that didn't negate the trauma, right? That they still had to process, because later on in the story, when they come out of slavery, they come out of bondage, they're still oppressed. They're internally oppressed. These people are internally oppressed. So it's like you come out of prison, you're free, but mentally you're still in a prison. Spiritually, you're still in a prison. Emotionally, you're still in a prison. So it's a lot of healing that needs to take place with, okay, once you realize what happened, right? Once you realize that this person was trying to oppress you through using scripture, through using your spiritual practices, right? Maybe you like to work with stones and they threw them all out, or was condemning you for using them, right? But you've gained power out of using it. You've gained some spiritual sense out of them, right? Now you come back to doing that, right? Coming back to what you believe, but please believe that this is also going to transform you, because you're not settling in your soul. You're coming back home to self. It's rebuilding your self-esteem and your self-worth, right? Coming back to you are worthy, you are whole, you are part of the divine creation. You are one of the many favored that walk among the earth. Coming back to those affirmations that are going to restore your soul. What songs restore your soul? My grandmother used to always tell me, keep a song on your heart so that even in the presence of darkness, your heart, your soul can start to sing that song and remember it. And there's a joy that comes, right? There's a leap that comes. Right. The spiritual healing part, reconnecting with spirituality. What does that look like? Right. Maybe it's redefining what spirituality means to you. What does it look like to you? What does it feel like to you? Right. And allow yourself to go through the waves of the belief, disbelief, right? Because again, now like you're restoring your soul, you're restoring your spirit from someone telling you that who you are and what you believed in and how you do your spiritual hygiene practices are wrong. Okay. Relearning what does spirituality mean for me. Ask yourself that. What does spirituality mean to me? Right? Because again, the body remembers. The body remembers what yoga did for you. The body remembers what prayer did for you. The body remembers what going to church did for you. And when we start to ask ourselves that question, what does spirituality look like for me? What is spirituality? We can reconnect to some of those practices again in a new way. Tapping back into your faith and your foundation, right? What is the scripture? I don't know it. I can't call it verbatim, but it's like direct the child in a way that they should go and they will never part. At some point we part. But we always come back home to it in one way, form, or fashion, right? Rebuilding your trust to your intuition and your discernment. That is the practice, learning how to trust yourself again. I did a video on YouTube, my YouTube page, Healing with Love, Ashley Elaine, talking about how to rebuild your trust and discernment in how to rebuild your trust in your intuition and discernment after experiencing abuse. And test yourself in small things, right? Maybe it's, okay, I need to go to the grocery store. Spirit, tell me when I need to go, right? Little things. Start with the little things. Maybe it's what I eat for breakfast. If it's like, ah, something's telling me to go walk my dog now, or something's telling me to go eat breakfast now, or something's telling me I should leave the house now, right? It's all a journey, right? Everything is a journey. We have to allow ourselves to be patient with ourselves and extend ourselves grace. And exploring different spiritual paths, right? Maybe now you just want to understand what else is out there, right? So as a Christian, a believer of the cross and Jesus being my mentor, I read the Bible, right? What confuses certain people that I don't care about is when I became a yoga teacher and I've read, I think I've read both versions of the Bhagavad Gita. There's 100 versions. I'm not even going to lie to you, right? But like even reading the Bhagavad Gita as a sacred text and the Yoga Sutras, that's a sacred text. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been reading the Bible my whole entire life, and there's scriptures that stick out, and you know, it could be because of family and just being in church all the time, and like my mother's favorite scriptures or my grandmother's favorite scriptures. But there's something that hit me different spiritually, that connected me different to myself and my spirit and to God different when I started to read Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. I felt like I was reading a text, a sacred text that was meant for me, right? And I still, it actually made me understand the Bible better, and it made me say, okay, maybe it's the type of Bible translation that I've been reading that is not for me. Right. So don't ever underestimate what sacred text you read that's going to bring you back home to what your foundation is and how it brings you back and what it brings you back to. Right. And always, always, always support systems and resources, community, finding support groups. Therapy, just when you're ready, engaging in supportive practices with other people. Healing from abuse can be lonely. It can feel like a lot of shame. It can feel like a lot of judgment. It can feel like no one understands. It can feel like you're unlovable. It can feel like you don't know who you are. It can feel like rage. It can feel like anger. There's a lot that goes on when you begin to see that these things that someone who told you they loved you did to you, to hurt you and harm you. And it may not have been intentional. We have to remember that hurt people, but healed people heal people. Loved people love people. Loving people love people. Joyful people spread joy to other people. So give yourself some grace. Give yourself some grace in identifying the signs and symptoms and how to maneuver forward. Because we all know that leaving an abusive relationship can sometimes be harder than staying in one. And there's never any judgment for someone who chooses to stay. There's never any judgment for someone who chooses to leave. There is no victim blaming. There is no victim shaming. The goal is to identify where you can regain yourself, your sense of self, your self-esteem, your power, and create boundaries so that you can control the things that you can control. Okay. I hope this has been a blessing. I pray that God imparts wisdom onto the ears that are listening to this episode, that have listened to this episode, and allows God to guide them, trust them, and help them rebuild their intuition to trusting the compass within their body, their soul. That we don't discredit these experiences and question ourselves as to why it happened to us, but how can we allow God to transform us and use us to get through? How can we be used for this to be through us? I guarantee you, you are not alone. I know it feels like it, but you are not alone. Know the tricks and the trades of the oppressor, of those other entities that live amongst us, and begin to ask yourself again, what is my divine connection to spirit? And if you're not sure, ask yourself, or ask God, how can I get back into relationship with you? Yeah. I love you all for free. Stay safe. Be blessed. Until next time.